Minehead Baptist Church Sermon Podcast for Sunday, the 21st of July, 2019. Hello and welcome. Thank you once again for joining me. My name's James and I'm the web guy here at NBC. Last week, Paul looked at what is an elder, and this week he's continuing with what is a deacon. The reading is 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 to 13. So we'll hear the reading and then Paul will start the sermon.
Our reading is taken from 1 Timothy chapter 3. Beginning at verse 1. This can be found on page 1192 of the Pew Bible, 1 Timothy 3. Here is a trustworthy saying. If anyone sets his heart on being an overseer, he desires a noble task. Now the overseer must be above reproach, the husband of but one wife, temperate, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not given to drunkenness, not violent but gentle, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money. He must manage his own family well and see that his children obey him with proper respect. If anyone does not know how to manage his own family, how can he take care of God's church? He must not be a recent convert, or he may become conceited and fall under the same judgment as the devil. He must also have a good reputation with outsiders, so that he will not fall into disgrace and into the devil's trap. Deacons, likewise, are to be men worthy of respect, sincere, not indulging in much wine, and not pursuing dishonest gain. They must keep hold of the deep truths of the faith with a clear conscience. They must first be tested, and if there is nothing against them, let them serve as deacons. In the same way, their wives are to be women worthy of respect, not malicious talkers, but temperate and trustworthy in everything. A deacon must be the husband of but one wife, and must manage his children and household well. Those who have served well gain an excellent standing and great assurance in their faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.
And this week we come to the second question, really, the second of those what is questions. Now, last week we looked at what is an elder, and this week, as Lorraine says, we're going to look at what is a deacon. Right at the heart of that question is something. Servanthood. The word in Greek that's used is a word you may have already heard in your Christian journey. The word is diakonos. A word which simply means servant. Scripture uses that same Greek word many times. And it applies it to that general description of servants. For example, in John 2, verse 5, Mary instructs in Greek, literally the diakonos, the servants of those of the house, to do whatever Jesus tells them to do. And Jesus spoke in some of his parables about good and bad servants using that same Greek word. In Romans 13, verse 4, Paul tells the pagan rulers that God will use those pagan rulers as his diakonos, his servants. And then there are times when Jesus tells every Christian, every single one of us, that want to please him, that we need to be his servant, his diakonos. James and John come to Jesus, just to give an example, in Mark 10, 42 to 44, and they ask him the question that was burning on their minds. Who will sit at your side, your right-hand side, Lord, in glory? And Jesus says this in those verses. Whoever wants to become great amongst you must be your servant. Which, friends, makes me your servant? If you all want to use me at once, I've got a problem. But nonetheless, the calling of a pastor is to serve the Lord in the company of the church. If anyone wants to be great, they must become the servant of all. And we might summarize that, might we not, by saying that Jesus calls all who would serve him to go the way of the cross. See, the cross is where our servant king died. And if we're not careful in church, we can emphasize king and forget that word servant. So the way of the cross is the way of servanthood. But more than that, Jesus not only taught about this thing called servant ministry, he lived it, didn't he? I wonder, if I asked you to form a queue to wash my feet today, how many would come? Moreover, since on Friday night my feet were in a much worse, much muddier state, having been spending half a day in the garden clearing garden waste away, I wonder how many of you would have washed my feet then. And if you think, oh yeah, I could do that, I wonder how many of you would let me wash your feet. But it's the way of Jesus, the way of servanthood. He calls us, doesn't he, to live a life of servanthood in John 13, verse 15. Indeed, in Scripture, there are only a couple of texts where the word is used to describe a group of people or a person who perform a specific task in the church. Many will know that Acts 6 is one of those, where we find seven people chosen to take care of the needs of the Grecian widows in the early church. And then we have the words in 1 Timothy 3 that are here. And friends, that's pretty much it. So what is a deacon? Someone who serves. Who is simply prepared to do the job that the church, that Jesus knows to be true. Now we have some friends here this morning from Upton. They're going to know this person whom I'm talking about. I'm going to tell you a bit of her story. Okay, you'll probably learn about someone more than you know before. I have a friend called Betty. Yeah, you both know Betty. For years, without anyone knowing, Betty, who lives two doors away from the church, would get up very early, normally at about 5 o'clock, and walk the short distance to church and start her day by sitting in the church for somewhere between 15 and 30 minutes in prayer. Simply praying. And she'd pray for everything the Lord brought to her mind. Later on, she would describe it to me as her prayer ramble. But she sat in the church. If I tell you this is a church where the heating had been condemned, and she sat there all seasons, sometimes between 15 and 20 and 30 minutes. And hence the reason, just to let you know, of the time differences. Because in the winter, even though she was wrapped up well, 15 minutes was about as much as she could bear. And when she'd finished her prayer time, she would walk up and go through the connecting door to the hall, which are mercifully heated in the winter and used for Sunday church now, and clean for as long as she prayed. A minute's prayer for a minute's cleaning. I would like to suggest, and she did that every day, day in, day out. I'm going to suggest, friends, suggest to you, my church family, that whilst at that stage what she'd done had never been voted at a church meeting for, had never even been acknowledged at a church meeting, Betty was being a deacon to her church. A servant. Whenever I remember Betty, I'm reminded that being a deacon is not about a vote, but it's about a heart. The heart to serve. Anyway, I became used to Betty, to her ways and to her timings, and I began to pick up what it was that Betty would do each day. So, for example, with every apology to the music group here, because I'm sure it doesn't happen here, but on Monday mornings, you used to go in and the church, the area that was used for church, would look a bit tidier than it had done on the Sunday after the music group had left their sheets of music all on the floor. Sure, that doesn't happen here, Margaret, does it at all, ever? No. Okay. Or again, on a Sunday, if you went in, you might catch that faint whiff of bleach in the air since you'd taken a mop to the toilet floors. They're clean for any visitors or any seekers that came to church that day. Now, I'm not saying, friends, that we should all come armed with a mop next Sunday, but I am saying, and I say to myself, we should come to this place with that metaphorical mop for the attitude of servanthood. Because that's being a diaconess, a deacon. To emphasise, being a deacon is not about a vote or about recognition. It's about servanthood. Not all of us will be called to do what Betty did, and incidentally still does. But all of us are called to be a diaconess, a servant to each other. This morning, one straightforward answer to the question is, what is a deacon? Would be for me to say to you, you are. If you already know what the Lord has called you to, then praise God and praise Him for that. But if you don't know what He's asking of you, can I simply suggest, ask Him. And when you've finished asking Him, then come and speak to me or speak to a member of the leadership team here. Find out from the Lord what He's got in hand for you, what He wants you to do. Oh, and one more thing about being a deacon. It may be that God calls you to a not too glamorous job. Not the sort of out there role, but maybe like Betty, to something that the church needs. Because Betty first started that rhythm of praying and serving because the Lord asked her to. There was a time when the church decided it would not employ anyone to do the cleaning, but would ask two or three of the fellowship groups in turn to come and clean the church. Each week there'd be a different person, a rota. In the words that were used to mean by one person, it was a disaster. With some jobs going undone for several weeks. It was then one morning in prayer in that church that Betty asked the Lord to show her what she could do to help. And as she wandered from the church into the hall, there in the middle of the room was a Hoover. And Betty took the hint. And Betty started. It's the way she would say that God has called her to serve Him. Chosen for her. Not glamorous, but her way of serving. And just in case we might think, well, maybe that was all Betty was able to do, poor soul, or in some way be condescending to that, or we think that's nice to have the time to do that sort of thing, you need to know that when God called Betty to start this work, she was not only a district councillor, she was the mayor. And God called her. I wonder how many of us have resisted where the Lord is calling us to serve Him because we think it's unglamorous. Putting ourselves first and the Lord second. Because being a servant of God, being a diaconess of the Lord, often involves us giving up something. And here's what we're all called to give up. Our way, our agenda. I'm not suggesting the Lord will do this to you, but imagine today that the Lord said, what I want you to do is go and sweep the streets of Minehead. Imagine He was to do that. Not glamorous, but His way. And lest we forget, Jesus not only calls us to servanthood, but He calls us to daily take up the cross and follow Him. I've got to tell you, the reality is when someone rings me at 3 a.m, I do not go, hallelujah, the phone has rung. That is not what happens in my household, and it is not what happens in my heart. But the truth of this is God has called me to serve His people. And even if I don't feel like getting out of bed at 3 a.m, if the Lord's called me to do it, then I will do it. I invite you to do the same. Maybe we could say Jesus calls us daily to forget what we want and to serve Him and to serve each other. And incidentally, it's important to note what deacons are not called to. We are not called to be slaves. We are called to serve. I was once in a church and I had a conversation with someone and it went like this. I was an elder at the church at the time and it went like this. It's great that we've got a group of deacons and they can do what we want them to do. That is not diaconate. That is not being a deacon. We have one boss, as Lorraine declared earlier on. His name is Jesus Christ, and you are not he. And what he says do, we will do. We may gather as church friends to discern what the Lord is asking of us, but we are slaves to the master, not to one individual that wants their own way. It's servanthood, not slavery. I wonder what would happen if the church here, the church that happens to bear his name, if everyone that calls themselves Christian here did something daily that spoke of the servanthood of the Lord, volunteer at the Active Living Centre or the Hope Centre. I wonder what would happen to our community. And for those of you that say, I can't do anything physical, I remember a conversation early on in my ministry where I went to see a lady, and this is what she said. We're setting up a messy church, and she said to me, I can't get there. I can't do anything. And I said, well, what's the Lord asked you to do? She said, daily pray. Well, then daily pray. Because that's the bedrock of this church. The prayer to the Lord. Pray, friends. Serve him in ways that are of you. Many of you do amazing things here that are not even known to me. The other day I was speaking to someone and they said about an individual, and I won't embarrass you because you are here. And they said this, did I know that this person had prayed loyally for me and Lorraine every day since we got here? And I find that humbling. I truly do. And since you're here, I say thank you. Without anyone knowing it's you, thank you from the bottom of our hearts. You are serving the Lord. Praise be. And many serve in ways that aren't known to me. And can I therefore, on behalf of this church, thank you from the bottom of our hearts and encourage the rest of us to follow you. Now, in 1 Timothy, we see that there are some that are called to be deacons who the church recognized as being called by God to specific roles or tasks among us. They're vital to the church, to its smooth running, to its mission. This is what Scripture says about them. According to Acts 3, 6 verse 3 rather, they're people full of spirit and wisdom. Whose spirit and wisdom? God's. And to those of you who serve the church as team leaders, leading small groups, and in many other ways that God has given you and called you to, can I say a huge thank you? From my perspective, you are amazing. Thank you. Here in this passage in 1 Timothy, it seems to me that Timothy is reminding all of us who serve him in this church, elders and deacons alike, that servant leadership is always non-coercive. In other words, if you follow me, friends, we're done for. If we follow the Lord, we're going to have a blast. Christian leadership is always servant ministry, which leaves people free to accept or not, because all it does is point the way to Jesus. I love that. People say to me, can you help me resolve this issue? Do you know the best thing about a pastor? You say, I can't, but I know the one that can. And you point to Jesus. Christian leadership is always that. And that passage we read last week, 1 Peter 5, 2 and 3, reminds us that this is Jesus' church. We are his flock. Did you know this morning you're among sheep? You don't look very impressed. But then neither does a flock of sheep, does it really? But we are. And we're his flock. And we're called to lead. But there's a big difference between leadership and lordship. Because Christian leaders may have authority, but they can never be authoritarian. 1 Thessalonians 5:12 and Hebrews 3:17. Christian leadership exhorts people to follow the Lord's way, rather than coercing them, 1 Timothy 5:1. And servant leadership is never from above, it's always from below. And that works, friends, because beyond the pastor is the real boss, and he holds us all up. And if that's true, the answer to the question, what is a deacon, is this. someone like you and me who's simply prepared to serve others under the instructions of their Lord. How can we be so confident? Because of that Greek word we started with, diakonos. Ready for a bit of Greek? The word, well, you are going to get it anyway. The word itself is not a noun, it's a verb. What does that mean? It therefore is not correct so much as to say, is A or B a deacon, but would be correct to say, is A or B being a deacon? Well, that makes all the difference, doesn't it? Because if we are called to be a deacon, then in reality, we're simply called to be church together. Being a deacon is not something you're called to do, rather you are called to be. Now, over the past few months, you'll have heard me time and time and time again say that I believe that God is calling this church to simply be the church. As we look at the question of what is a deacon, I'm reminded that we will only be church when you and I are servants, diaconess to each other. What is a deacon? I invite you, when we finish this service, to stand up, look around you, and see them. Servants of the living God. And before we pray and I close, I'd like to close with an illustration. And I want to ask you a question, and please don't say out loud if you know the answer, or if you've heard of this chap. But if you have heard of him, I wonder, could you put your hand in the air? Just so that I'm aware. Put your hand in the air if you know who Albrecht Dürer was. Bless you, thank you. And the rest of you are going, who on earth was Albrecht Dürer? Well, in the early 1500s, Albrecht was a struggling artist who shared a room with his friend, another struggling artist. And what they did was they formed a pact. Okay, got the deal? There's these two guys, single guys, living in this room. And the pact was this, that one of them would work at manual labour to support their physical needs, while the other worked at the craft of his artist's craft until it developed the patrons necessary to pay the bills. And when that had happened, they would swap around. Does that make sense? That was their pact. So Dürer was the first to work at his craft. And his friend, who incidentally I don't know the name of, spent his time earning whatever he could as a labourer. Dürer eventually became recognised and began to sell some of his work. It was a hard time. But it was now the time for his friend to develop his skills. So they went to swap over. But his friend had used his hands so much in hard labour in order to get Dürer to that point that they'd become gnarled and stiff and he was unable to work on painting, unable to continue in his calling. And Dürer himself wrote that he was heartbroken. Then one day, Dürer was working on a painting. He heard some mumbling in the next room. Thinking something might be wrong, he rose from the seat he was at and he walked to the room and he peeked in. And there, without his friend knowing, he saw him bowing over a meal of bread and wine, his hands folded in prayer. From that scene, Dürer painted one of his most memorable paintings and gave a memorial to the faithfulness of his friend's hands, which are the labourer's hands that gave for him. And he gave us quite a famous picture. It seems to me to be a remarkable picture to leave on the screen as we pray. A reminder of a servant's hearts born out in the reality of a pair of hands. It's the servant's heart that Jesus calls us all to. And friends, he calls to give us, for us to give him rather, all that we have in skills and talents and time. So this morning, I simply invite you to remember your Lord, to respond to his call, to take up your cross, to follow him, to serve him, to become diakonos, servants of the living God. Let's pray. Father, I thank you. Thank you. I thank you. This morning, Lord, with open heart and open hands, I come before you. I pray that my heart, you would show me how I may serve you willingly, in spirit and in truth. And as you show me, Lord, in my life, be glorified, I pray. As you continue in that moment of prayer, let me remind you, friends, that at the end of the service, I'll be around. Please come and speak to me. Let's pray together. Our prayer ministry team will be over in the corner. Seek them. Be prayed for. But, Lord, I pray that the servant heart of all of us might be touched to your honor and to your glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
To leave a comment, please go to minehead-baptist.com/sermons. Well, thank you once again for listening, and I'll speak to you soon.